Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I hope you're ready, Atlanta. We got another title shot, and here we are. Welcome to MLS Championship Weekend on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are all getting excited. You could tell the town is starting to get pretty excited about another shot at another title, and maybe we can break this, air quotes, curse that everybody seems to think we have. With Atlanta United taking on Portland tomorrow night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, day before the big game. How you doing, Hugh?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, I'm happy. I'm happy that, you know, we're getting ready to play a championship game. A lot of my friends getting stoked about it. A lot of friends are, you know, it's funny. A lot of my friends, they've gotten tickets to go to the MLS Cup, and they're complaining about the price of the tickets because at some point there were like 10 packs that you could get of tickets or whatever, and a 10-pack of tickets was like, I think they said the price was like a, I think at the top it was like $1,000 or something like that for 10 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you complaining about buying 10 tickets to a championship game when, you know, you think about buying 10 tickets to like a Super Bowl or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, that'll set you back. Yeah.
$10,000 a ticket.
Man, come on. I'm like, come on, man. Let's not complain about this. Let's not become kind of snippy and snobbish about this whole thing. Just enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's good. Amazing how people, not to cut you off, John, but it's just how people are starting to be a little bit snippy about this whole situation.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be a great day. I mean, this is you know, we have so many people in this town that want to revel in, for lack of a better term, you know, in the fact that, you know, oh, here we go. We're going to be Atlanta-ing again, you know, and you got to break this, air quotes, curse and whatnot. And you are absolutely right when you have said it is so unfair to put that on Atlanta United. It's a standalone thing. They're only in their second season. They're the new kids on the block, and suddenly it falls on their shoulders. They have to pick up the slack. Come on, that's unfair to them.
I don't think that's right. I mean, but it's a lot that's going on right now that I don't feel is right. But I'm going to keep it to myself. But it's a great time to be in Atlanta. It's a great time to be in the city. We're in the throes of something that is brand new for all of us, new and shiny. And let's just enjoy it for what it is. Because realistically, John, a lot's going to change next year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot's going to change. A lot that we're not talking about. Tata Martino's not going to be here. Miguel Almiron is going to be gone. So it's one of those things where let's just enjoy it now and don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about what nobody else is doing. Just let the Atlanta United enjoy what they have going on right now.
I think you could look at it the other way, Hugh, which is to say, you know, from the moment that they announced this three and a half years ago and put this kind of into motion, to see what this franchise has grown to in just 2 years. It's not just that they're the best team in Major League Soccer, which they have been, really, even though I know they didn't win the Supporters' Shield, but I think they kind of proved that so far in the playoffs, and maybe they'll prove it further tomorrow by winning an MLS Cup. But it's what they have done, and this is a testament to the city of Atlanta, where that's the other knock, and we know this, you know, we have this internal thing that goes on in the city of Atlanta, right? I mean, all the fans here, you know, we kind of gripe, and everybody likes to point fingers at us, and we'll hear 28-3, you know, every time. We're going to hear it today. You'll hear 28-3, right? I mean, we understand how the rest of the nation likes to point fingers at us. And then we get in our feelings, and then what happens with the fans here is that we believe that bad things are going to happen to us. See, the curse is really just, you know, kind of projection that we have of bad karma, in my opinion. And so if we take ourselves out of that equation and start to look, oh, Atlanta's a bad sports town. Hugh, Atlanta has redefined an entire sport. Major League Soccer has been redefined in 2 years by one franchise, this one. Atlanta's a bad sports town? Ah, come on.
I think that Atlanta has tapped into something that everybody enjoys going to. I think that's the biggest thing. And you know, some of the concerns that Taylor Twellman talked about yesterday, there were valid concerns because, you know, you talk about, and he pointed those out. You know, we don't have to go back into that, but he was pointing out how the fact that, you know, in some games people don't go into the stadium until after the game started. You know the game is started and you see the seats empty. The biggest thing that Atlanta United has going for it right now, John, is I think that it has always had a lot of fans of sports, but they really were true fans of soccer. And to see a city invest so much and be serious about getting a soccer club here like Arthur Blank did, they got excited about it because it wasn't going to be the stepchild. It wasn't going to be the second-class citizen, if you will. It was going to be a equal partner in the building that it resides in right now, Mercedes-Benz. And they are really going to put some money behind this club and really make it so that people felt that we were serious about soccer. And I think that's what really everybody gravitated towards was the fact that it was not one of those things where, okay, we're going to do soccer, but we're going to do it halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Blank didn't do it halfway. He pushed all the way in. He pushed his chip to the middle of the table, and he made it happen.
Yeah, so much so that when he built Mercedes-Benz Stadium, he built it with soccer in mind first, and then the stadium, because a lot of stadiums, like we know that Yankee Stadium, for example, is a baseball stadium, so maybe that's an unfair example, but unless you have a soccer-specific stadium, it's built for football and baseball or what have you, and you try and squeeze and peg in a soccer field into that. But Atlanta United was the first tenant in thought when they built Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They were going to build a regulation, you know, big-time soccer pitch, and then, okay, how do we now squeeze that down for the NFL to make college of football kind of fit in? So they went that way in their thinking. That and the training ground and the academy and everything else that became Atlanta United. Let's go out and hire the best people in the world. You hire Darren Eales. You hire Carlos Bocanegra. You go down and get the head coach of the Argentinian national team, guy that was the head coach of Barcelona, in Tata Martino. And hopefully Tata, is now as he goes off to become the head coach at Mexico, will and there are a lot of people who are kind of angry about that, Hugh, soccer fans. Not so much that Tata's going to come leave Atlanta United, but that the United States didn't hire him to be the head coach of the U.S. men's national team. Going, what are you guys doing? Why are you letting him go to Mexico? So that's how respected he is on the world stage. So you went out and got one of the top managers in the entire world. That's how they treated this. They treated it as, oh, yeah, we're going to be – and it's paid off with this.
Tremendously. And we're in the position that we're in right now. And that's why I say enjoy it, because this is only 2 years old. And I don't think that it's fair to, again, to heap everything that has happened in this city onto one club in such a short period of time. The shine hasn't even come off the new nickel or the new penny yet. And to be in the position that they're in their second season, I think that's phenomenal. And however this shakes out, I don't think that anybody that has any good sense should say anything about the fact that, you know, hey, well, you know, it's just the curse of it. No. Because if that was the case, we would be in this position with Atlanta United 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. That's what I would consider being a curse. So just let it breathe. Just let it breathe and get out your feelings and get out your fandom and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, we're going to win tomorrow night. I'm just telling you, we're going to win. We're going to win. We all know it, don't we? It is a Five Stripes kind of Friday with the MLS Cup at Mercedes-Benz Stadium tomorrow night. Our coverage will begin, it really never ends on 92.9 The Game, but really tomorrow our coverage begins in earnest with Carl Dukes and I at 2, taking it to Jason and Mike at 6 with an extended pregame show leading to the MLS Cup with the kickoff at 8 o'clock tomorrow night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's also Falcons Friday. We get ready for the Falcons as they head to Green Bay, Wisconsin, for this game on Sunday. And, you know, the lead story this morning in kind of the Packer world up there is, you know, can the Packers bounce back under a new coach and be relevant and be in contention in 2019? And, you know, it's interesting because as we talk about the Packers and Falcons, here's this game, Hugh. We're in the 13th game of the year at the beginning of the season. Packers fans looked at this game with Atlanta coming in. Falcons fans looked at this game going to Lambeau Field. And we both kind of calculated that this was going to be a critical game for both franchises and for seeding and positioning in the playoffs. And look where we are with both franchises. It really is kind of, maybe not even surprising, it may be shocking that we're at this spot with both the Packers and the Falcons being out of it, going to with a month left to go in the season. These two franchises.
No, I agree. I agree, John. You talk about the Green Bay Packers and how all of a sudden there's been a sea change there. And the fact that the Atlanta Falcons were a team that we looked at that were going to, like right now, realistically, we all thought that we were going to be talking about seeding. And, hey, mm-hmm. we need this game for a playoff seed or something like that.
Right.
It hasn't happened. It didn't happen. And that's the unfortunate thing about this season. But you got to finish it. You got to finish the season. You got to finish the season strong, man. And we're going to find out this weekend about a whole bunch of different individuals that we've been talking about. I know I was listening to Rick and John yesterday, and they were talking about Vic Beasley
mm-hmm.
and how Vic, you know, kind of came out and said that, you know, he hasn't had the season that he's wanted to have and things of that nature. Like, all of these guys, your big money guys, the guys that you've looked at or you're looking at to step up, they're going to have to step up this weekend. I expect Matt Ryan to step up. I mean, that's something that I expect to happen. The offensive line is going to be under a lot of scrutiny. The defensive line is going to be under a ton of scrutiny, especially after what Coach Quinn said about the defensive line. So people are going to be talking about that. This is a game that's going to let you know who's going to be who's your trench guys. That's what this is, John. This is a trench guy game to find out who is really all about that lip service and who's really about that life. Like the kids like to say, you ain't about that life. We're about to find out who about that life this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be Falcons and Packers, and, of course, our coverage at 1 o'clock kick on Sunday begins with the Wait For tailgate show, and then Mike and Hugh with the pregame show, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 11, and then the kick at 1 with Wes, Dave, and John from Lambeau Field. So a couple other quick headlines, and then we'll kind of launch into the show. Here's Kem Wisenhunt out, will not be considered. He's taken his name out of the running at Georgia Tech, and a lot of buzz around Temple coach and one-time Georgia Tech grad assistant Jeff Collins. We'll get into that in the program. Titans routed the Jags last night in Thursday Night Football, 30-9. Derrick Henry had him a moment. If you have Derrick Henry on your fantasy team, whoa, did you have a night? 238 yards and 4 touchdowns. My goodness. A lot to get into today. Very busy Five Stripe Friday. We had a chance. If you missed the interview with Taylor Twellman, Hugh kind of reached out and got him on. It was a little bit different kind of spin on an interview. We thought we'd play it for you again in case you missed it because it's fun, it's different, and it's Taylor Twellman talking about MLS Cup.
And it is now my pleasure to present to team captain Michael Parkhurst and Atlanta United the 2018 Eastern Conference Championship Trophy.
Congrats to our Atlanta United.
Now, it's on to the Cup Final versus Portland tomorrow.
Once you move into the playoffs, you can't really take any chances, you can't take any risks, you have to defend as a team. I thought we did that tonight.
Our Atlanta United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We welcome into the program star, national team star for a long time, MLS star too, Taylor Twellman, of course, analyst for ESPN, who's joining us this morning. Talk about MLS Cup 2018. Morning to you, Taylor.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Hugh, would you lose a bet? You're calling me now?
No, you know what, Taylor? I appreciate this, but I have to tell the story about how we met. Like, I had just got to ESPN, and I was new on Twitter. And I forgot where I was at, but I was sitting there eating lunch with a young lady, and I was tweeting some fans, and somebody said something about soccer. And I sent out the stupidest tweet that I've ever sent out in my life. I said, nobody cares about soccer. Soccer sucks. And she looked at me and was like, did you really just send that tweet out? And I was like, yeah, nobody cares about soccer. She said, do you know that soccer has played internationally? Nobody plays football. And everybody on Twitter went in on me. So it was Alexi Lalas and Taylor. They was like, dude, what are you talking about? And I appreciate both of these guys because instead of browbeating me, they kind of explained to me the draw of soccer. And I appreciate that. And this is me calling in the favor from Taylor Twellman, and he's answering the favor. So thank you, Taylor.
Oh, no. The best part was it was just a way for me to just kind of get after a former Eagles linebacker. That's the only reason why I did it.
So, okay, now let me get after you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when they started talking about Atlanta United and bringing the soccer to Atlanta, you were big against soccer here. What was the main reason why you were so big against soccer here in Atlanta?
Hugh, just because of this, the way that city was in the past. So I, you know, growing up as a St. Louis Cardinals fan and watching the Atlanta Braves completely demolish every single team leading into the playoffs and winning the pennant and doing all that. And yet when you watch the regular season, what was it, 11 consecutive pennants or whatever the number is? And yet they only got to one World Series. And Hugh, they couldn't sell out games. Where there's, you know, growing up in St. Louis, where you sold out every home game for baseball. It just is what it was. It's a baseball town. The team was winning. So here I saw the Braves. Then I saw the Falcons. And look at even last weekend, guys. Falcons versus Ravens. There's empty seats all over the place.
Oh, my God. Really?
So I looked at Atlanta sports, and I said, I don't know if this is going to work. And I couldn't have been more wrong. I couldn't be more 180 degrees away from the point, because it literally has brought in the entire city. Arthur Blank on the MLS All-Star Game at halftime, I asked him the question, and I know people were kind of upset I asked it, but it's true. I said, what's a better environment, the Falcons or United? He looked at me like I was cross-eyed and said, it's Atlanta United. He goes, I wish someone would have told me this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, because he goes, I am shocked at how this city has embraced the sport, embraced the team. And yes, it helps that they're winning and they've got MVPs and all of that. I get that. But Hugh, I didn't know, and John, I didn't know the city was as well-educated and the fans are as versed as they are in the sport. And that's a credit to them. And I couldn't be happier that I was more wrong.
Taylor Twellman joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I tell you what, Taylor, everything that you just said, like you weren't here for the previous conversation we've had on the air, but you were waxing poetic once again. And to your point, so much so, the fans are so passionate about soccer here that they get on us as analysts. You know, because we're still kind of learning the game as well. They get on us as analysts to do better. And it's a beautiful thing, man. And it's just amazing to see. It's amazing to see soccer that take off in a city like this.
Guys, we're talking about Atlanta United on the game. Like, just think about that, right? Like, if we would have told you guys that 48 months ago, you guys would have looked at everyone and said, no way, 24 months ago, it's not happening. We're not calling Taylor Twellman before MLS Cup. We're just not doing it. Ratings are going to go down. And yet, go to Twitter right now. Go anywhere. This is all what people want to talk about. I love it. I love landing in Atlanta, hopping in an Uber or cab ride, and the guy or the woman stops the car, turns around and calls me a complete idiot because of my opinion about something Atlanta United did. That's when you know you've made it as a sport, and I am shocked in SEC country that Atlanta United has resonated the way they have. Credit to the Blank family and everyone else. It's been awesome.
Taylor Twellman joining us on Sports Radio 92.9.
So, Taylor, let's just get to it, man. What does Atlanta United have to do to win this weekend?
Well, that's the hardest thing, Hugh and John, honestly, because when you look at this, and I'll say it, I know everyone's going to turn the radio off right now, but 28-3, right? This is the kind of game.
Oh, my God, really?
Taylor,
okay, there we go.
Listen, I just want to – we're going to let you finish, Taylor, but we did not prompt him to do this. He's doing this on his own. Please finish.
Think about it, right? Think about it. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Wasn't the Patriots-Rams Super Bowl in Atlanta 2002?
I think, was it? Am we right? Is that right? No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was the Titans Rams. Yeah.
It's that kind of Super Bowl where the Rams are going in heavily favored. It's the greatest show on turf. So for the listeners at home, to bring some kind of other sport perspective to understand what Atlanta United versus Portland Timbers are, listen, 70,000 plus, you're at home, you're on turf, you've got arguably two of the best players we've ever seen in this league, you've got arguably one of the best coaches this league's ever seen. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. So Portland's going to go in and try to defend and try to survive and have their two best players in Valeri and Blanco, which are very good players, as we saw against Sporting Kansas City. All I'm saying, guys, is Atlanta's heavily favored. Mm-hmm. And in the first 15, 20 minutes, they need to get all over Portland and make sure they realize you're on the road, the 70,000 fans here are against you, and to make them realize in the big moments. The longer this game goes 0-0, the better for Portland. Because what people don't want to talk about in Atlanta, Tata Martino's leaving, Miguel Almiron is leaving. You never know with Jose Martinez because someone could come in with a ridiculous amount of money and buy him. And so that pressure of culminating something with a win, with a trophy, you know, them losing the supporter shield at the end of the year, guys, that subtly has put extra amount of pressure on this team to win a trophy. So, Hugh, to answer your question, it's the first 20 to 25 minutes. They need to get after Portland. Because if it's 65th, 75th, 80th minute, and it's 0-0 or even 1-0 Portland, we may be talking about the biggest upset in MLS Cup history.
Taylor Twellman, of course, star of U.S. Men's National Team, MLS star, joining us talking about MLS Cup and taking shots at Atlanta from a guy who grew up in St. Louis, a town that lost two NFL teams.
Wow. Right, so you make it personal.
I'm just saying.
He just made it personal.
Lost an NBA team to Atlanta. Couldn't keep them either, but that's okay.
Guys, I lost you. Bad cell service. Sorry.
All right, let's get back to soccer here. Portland does have an advantage. Diego Valeri has been down this road before. Portland has been down this road before. And speaking of that, they've been playing well on the road in this game. We imagine, Taylor, just from a stylistic standpoint, because our play-by-play guy, Mike Connie, was telling us he believes Portland's going to pack it back in. And you talk about the first 15 to 20 minutes. That crowd is going to be so amped up that if Atlanta United can break that through in the first 15 or 20, the place is going to go ballistic. Portland has to guard against that early onslaught, do they not? And if Atlanta United can get that early goal, that's going to put them in a tough spot because they're going to take them right out of their game plan.
Do you want a job at ESPN? Because that's pretty much better than anything I've said. You're spot on. The hardest thing for the Portland Timbers is not weathering that storm, because you said it best, right? The biggest reason why they're in MLS Cup, and no one in Portland in the Pacific Northwest wants to actually say this, it's because they had to go on the road. If they were in a higher seed where they have to dictate the tempo of the game and open up, that doesn't suit them. So going to Dallas is a knockout round game, going to Seattle trying to survive, going to Sporting Kansas City trying to advance, that's all played in their hands. So Atlanta, to some extent, plays in their hands. However, those games aren't in front of 72,000. Those games aren't in front of you trying to stop Jose Martinez, Miguel Almiron, but they're also not in front of a coach that prepares a team to be on the front foot more often than not. Now, Tata Martino has had Jose Martinez and Miguel Almiron sit back a little bit, and he's defended with five in the playoffs, but the New York Red Bull series, especially in leg one, guys, at home, that told me this team loves to be a front runner. This team loves to have the ball at their feet and loves to put pressure on you and loves the momentum. That's why Portland's got to be so careful that those first 20, 25 minutes, John, like you said, if Miguel Almiron has 15, 20 touches and the rhythm's in it, and Hugh knows this, when you play in big games, the best games from big game players, so to speak, is when they feel like it's just another game. Mm-hmm. And the way you do that as a soccer player is get touches on the ball. Get as many touches on the ball, get into the rhythm, and then you forget about the magnitude of the game. So if you're going to sit in and defend like Portland wants to, I'm not sure you want Miguel Almiron to have 15, 20 touches, Rebaty knocking it out wide, Loreno and stepping in, and then Darlington Nagby. You follow where I'm going. You don't want rhythm to go in Atlanta, because then I think the task is too tall. But Portland's had their backs against the wall the entire playoff, so they may love this and get to the 65th minute 0-0.
Well, Taylor, it's going to be a magical moment, a record crowd, and no matter the outcome of the game, MLS has arrived on a new and bigger stage, and we're very proud that Atlanta United has been helped usher it in, and been the lead architect over the last year of a couple of years of kind of ushering and forcing the rest of the league to kind of play catch up to them, which is a good thing. We look forward to having you in town, and hopefully we get a great game.
No, I think you guys get a great game. And let's be honest, Atlanta United's most successful, I think, accolade is getting you guys talking about soccer. Well done.
Taylor's an interesting character, and he'll be part of the broadcast as Atlanta United takes on Portland in the MLS Cup. You can join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Entercom Atlanta at the Esperanza Supporter Club tailgate in the Gulch on Saturday. Begins tomorrow at noon near the largest center tree in the Gulch, that big, large center tree in the Gulch, the Esperanza Supporter Club.com. You go there for food and drink ticket information, EsperanzaSupporterClub.com. All right, when we get back, some of the things we got to look forward to and may have missed. Other news in the Wendy's Zone with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy's Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Just a reminder that today is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. On this day, 77 years ago, the bombing at Pearl Harbor happened. So just want to make you guys aware that today is December 7th and to take time to reflect on what happened 77 years ago.
A date that will live in infamy. 77 years ago.
Yes.
No, I was not.
Were you around then?
No, I knew you were going to go there. No, I was not around then. Man of mercy. Yeah, we salute all the veterans. Boy, you'd have to almost be 100 years old to have survived Pearl Harbor now. Man. Yeah, it's starting to fade back into history.
Also, if you go to 92.9 The Game on our Twitter page, it's one more sleep until the MLS Cup tomorrow. So just tweet us your photos throughout this season with Atlanta United. We'll retweet them all day long, both on our Facebook page and our Twitter page at 92.9 The Game. I have one up right now of John Vicky and Hugh Douglas attending one of the games. So
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so just tweet us your pictures. We want to see all the fun that you've had this season and get excited for tomorrow. Well, the NFL's ratings have been up slightly this year after falling, you know, pretty down the cliff a couple of seasons. Well, do we really need another pro football league? Because yesterday, this is going to be the fourth professional football league that is going to be attempted. A group of 50 former NFL players announced that they're launching the Freedom Football League, or the FFL. So now we're going to have four different leagues. The other three are the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. We have the XFL, which is coming back in 2020. And now the former NFL players behind the FFL include Ricky Williams, Terrell Owens, Simeon Rice, Jeff Garcia. But the unique thing about it, they're going to be encouraging players to talk about, quote, hot button issues. So they haven't announced the launch date, so not sure it's going to be in 2019. But the games are going to be in the spring and the summer, so not directly competing with the NFL. So they're going to be starting with 10 teams, and they already have the names of the 10 teams. You have the San Diego Warriors, the Oklahoma City Power, the Portland Progress, the Texas Revolution, Birmingham Kings, St. Louis Independents, Florida Strong, Connecticut Underground, Oakland Panthers, and this one's a great name, Ohio Players.
Hey!
Yeah, I like that
Ohio
name.
Players.
That may be the best name in sports already.
It is the Ohio Players. I wonder what their mascot is going to be.
The Ohio Players?
Fire.
You know, I have no idea. But
that's
it's just
you don't want to go there, Hugh. I just remember those covers.
No, I was AT, you read my mind.
He did,
you know,
too.
You know the one I'm thinking about, the honey cover.
Honey
cover. Oh, I was thinking about the honey cover. But how can you put, you can't put that on the side of a helmet.
No,
you can't.
No, you can't. Well, maybe you can because they're encouraging their players to talk about hot button
issues.
Can
we get some sweet sticky things sometime today?
The one thing came immediately to my mind when I heard about this yesterday, and Ricky Williams was on NFL Live to make this announcement, when he said something about holistic, and I was like, holistic and Ricky Williams.
Yeah, well,
that means, spells a four-letter word.
Yes.
Weed.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is going mainstream. Weed is becoming more mainstream.
But which one of these leagues outside of the NFL are going to be the most successful? Now that it's kind of oversaturating pro football, which one can be successful, if any of these three can be successful?
I think that the AAF is going to probably be the most successful one because of the financial backing that it has. Because you look at some of the moves they made with as far as their infrastructure is concerned, they put a lot of money into something that they don't even know if it's going to work or not. You know, with the hiring of different people and basically fleecing people from other businesses. So I think that their business model is going to work because they got a lot of financial backing.
Well, in addition to that, they're the only one that currently has a national TV contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, because CBS owns them, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of that, too, because they got a lot. They got long pockets.
The XFL came out with a big bang, but they haven't said anything more that I'm aware of.
I mean, they announced their 10 cities the other day. And,
oh, did they?
Yeah.
And
said,
but see, no one's talking
about
it.
Yeah, right, and now you got the Freedom Football League. Problem with spring football just broadly is we've had, I don't know, probably close to 10 leagues try over the last 45, 50 years, and none of them have stuck.
I would like to see, I hope the Freedom Football League does well because of some of the names of the guys that are on it, the Terrell Owens, the Jeff Garcia, Simeon Rices, and guys like that, because that goes to the entrepreneurship side and the minority ownership side to me. Because if you look at the NFL as a whole, it's not a whole lot of minority owners. There's not – well, Shad Khan would probably be considered a minority owner, but you don't really see too many minority owners in the NFL, so I hope that they do well.
Certainly not from a majority standpoint. You do have some football players who are involved as minority owners.
Yeah, from a majority standpoint, yeah, of course.
Well, what I do think helps the AAF is the fact that they are starting next year. They didn't procrastinate and wait. They're not waiting until 2020, and if the Freedom Football League maybe launches next year, I think that'll help. But launching in 2020 or not having a set date, is going to hurt XFL and maybe even the Freedom Football League over AAF, which is essentially right now acting as the minors for pro football.
Yeah, and AAF, you know, they all have different business models. And AAF has said, look, we understand who we are. And if you want to go play in the NFL, this is going to be kind of a route for you to go to the NFL. So I think they have at least accepted what they are.
Well, as a matter of fact, Josh Johnson was the first player picked in this draft a week or two ago, and he just got picked up by the Redskins this week.
Well, and I think launching it as quickly as they did, they announced that, hey, we're starting, and they're starting. They're not waiting, so they're not giving people time to forget about them like the other two may. I'm not sure about the Freedom Football League since they haven't announced that their launch date, but at least they have announced their teams.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm planning on going to see the first game. If I don't do any other game,
I plan on being a part of that.
Yeah.
Because I want to see, first of all, I want to see the debut of Michael Vick as an offensive coordinator. And just to see how they play, to be honest, to see how they play. Because I've seen some of the pictures. I follow them on the Instagram. And just to see how they come out of the box.
I hope for their sake, because their first game is going to be, I think, February 24th, if I'm not mistaken, it'll be the third game of the year. They're on the road the first two games. And, you know, I just hope the weather holds. I mean, this is the only dicey thing. You're playing outdoors in February in Atlanta. So that's the only kind of, you know, dicey thing here with that as far as getting crowds early in their season as opposed to later in the year when the weather would be nicer. So hopefully the weather holds out for them, and we all wish the Legends the best.
Maybe we can make it a work bonding trip, guys.
Hear, hear!
Well, me and AT will make it a work bonding trip.
Yeah, you know, he works a lot of weekends.
Oh no, I'll go. I'll go.
Nice travel.
I was gonna make up an excuse, but I ain't gonna make up no excuse. I'll go.
You'll go on the work trip to the AAF game.
I was gonna go regardless, but I didn't know if I wanted to hang out with y'all. But it's cool. It's cool.
We can talk.
Watch what'll happen, Hugh. It'll be cold out that day, and Wendy will go,
John, I can dress. I can dress when I'm going to a game, but if I have to dress to come into the studio where it's -2,
and we heard you, Hugh, kick rocks.
No, I'm saying, I mean, it's like y'all cool people, but sometimes, you know, it's like I see y'all 5 days a week. I need them 2 days, man.
You're not invited. You're not invited anymore.
No, it's not like I don't like y'all. I need them 2 days.
That's okay. Not what I heard.
It is a Five Stripes Friday. It's also a Falcons Friday. What do we expect? I have no idea what to expect on Sunday from these two teams. What do you expect? I think the keys to the game are pretty simple. We're going to discuss what the Falcons face when they go to Lambeau next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 in the game.